Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to, actually, this is a special Transformation Cafe. We're doing it a little bit different than our normal format, and we're doing it on a Sunday night as opposed to Tuesday night. So I want to really thank my guests for going ahead and scooting up to the cafe here. We have Miss Brenda. Miss Brenda, how are you tonight?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Robin?
I am excited about this conversation. And we have Mr. Derek. Hey, Mr. Derek, how are you? I'm throwing you on as soon as you come in the door. How are you doing, Derek?
I'm good. My name is Darren.
Oh, Darren. I am sorry. I heard Derek. Okay. Darren, thank you for joining us. And we have Christopher. Christopher, how are you tonight?
Doing really well. Thank you.
Doing really well. I know Christopher and Brenda from a networking group that we have on a weekly basis, and I'm so excited. We wound up having this really great conversation at our last meeting with Brenda about tabletop gaming. And, boy, I learned so much that I just wanted to get these guys on. They're going to be having a grand opening this coming Thursday, which is going to be on the 7th in Corona, California. The name of the company, the game of their location is going to be called Critical Hit Games. But really what I want to talk about, we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, but I really want to talk about just this whole thing of this tabletop gaming. And, boy, if I could get Darren and Christopher, for you guys just kind of talk about how did you get into it and how did you guys want to be able to create a place where people can get together and do tabletop gaming?
Sure, absolutely. You know, I've been really passionate about board gaming for a long time. I actually it's kind of sad. My parents were a bit older and weren't really interested into you know, board games, but I was introduced to a game called Dungeon Quest in the early 90s, and this game is like a miniature-based game, but it sort of opened the door to board gaming for me. But the problem that I had was that I didn't really know anybody that liked to play board games, and so the closest that I got to being able to do that was in high school with a group of my friends that we played Magic the Gathering, which is not really a board game, it's a collectible card game, but that allowed me to kind of dive into the world a little bit. And Darren was part of that group, and we played Magic the Gathering, and you know, we were really into that. And that kind of opened up the door for me a little bit. And then, you know, it's a growing community. It's been growing quite a bit. I mean, right now it's a $1 billion industry, and it's huge. I mean, you go to Barnes and Nobles, and you see they're starting to carry a large amount of board games. You go into Target, you're seeing the same thing. And so, that's pretty much the history with me with board games.
Okay, how about you, Darren?
Well, like Christopher said, you know, we kind of got into card games, and we did a little dabbling of Dungeons and Dragons back in high school as well. But I've always been more of the avid video gamer than Chris was, and I actually worked in the video game industry for a while with like Blizzard Entertainment, Activision, and Treyarch and such. But as I went off and did the digital side of gaming, you know, Chris kind of stayed analog and stuck with board games. And you know, as we kind of got a little bit older, we just, you know, we've always been good friends. We always try to talk on the phone, but we just kind of I don't want to say drifted apart, but like just as our lives became bigger, we just kind of had our own lives to deal with, our own relationships, our own families. And you know, I got out of the video game industry and got into the beer industry, and Chris was always still playing board games. So you know, when we had time to hang out, you know, Chris would expose me to board games again. I've always been naturally a gamer. I just never really played a lot of board games other than in high school with card games. So you know, we kind of took this as an opportunity. We just enjoyed getting together and doing that. You know, me, I used to work in the beer industry, so I've always been a big fan of beer. And we would always just hang out and maybe have a couple beers and play games. And we just thought to
good
ourselves,
reason,
that,
right?
You know,
yeah. Good reason to get together.
This is
beer and games.
Exactly.
Sounds good. Yeah.
So we were just kind of like, there's got to be places out there like this. And we did a little research. There's a few places out there, but that's kind of how the whole idea started. Is we were going to take my love and passion for craft beer, and he was going to take his love and passion for board gaming, and we were going to smush them together and create a board game cafe somewhere. But, you know, mm-hmm. as we did the math and the numbers, creating a board game cafe was just a little more costly than we thought it would be. So, you know, mm-hmm. for the last year we've been doing conventions, and these conventions have actually been very fortuitous for us. We did pretty well at all these conventions. And we just kind of thought to ourselves, what can we do next? You know, obviously we didn't have the money or the capital for a cafe just yet, even though that's a plan, that's a goal, that's going to be a goal for several years down the line. But we did the math, and, you know, an opportunity came around to be a single place in Corona. And when we did the math together, we just kind of thought to ourselves, we can pull the trigger right here and do this. So, we kind of shifted our priorities a little bit. And we decided to focus on opening a store first. And then once we have the store running for a few years and seeing how things go, then we can revisit the idea of opening up a cafe.
That's exciting. That's exciting. I know there's a place here in Riverside that's called Beer and Brews. So it's basically a place where you go get a shave, or they take care of your beard, and you get they've got a microbrewery as a part of the business that they do. So, you know, smushing a beer with other activities seems to be very
popular.
Yeah, and I've
worked in the beer industry for a while, and you go to a lot of breweries nowadays, anywhere, if you're in Orange County, Los Angeles, even Inland Empire, they have a small shelf of board games there. It's become like a constant common between maybe beer drinkers and board gamers. There's a commonality there, and we're just trying to take that.
Yeah, if you think of back in the day with bars and things like that, you know, that was basically the water hole for everybody to get together. And for sure they were playing checkers, if not poker, mm-hmm. or something else to get together and with, you know, basically a reason to hang out and be doing different kinds of things. So I want to bring Brenda into the conversation. So Brenda and I were talking about just this whole idea of the gaming and all that. And one thing I didn't realize that she shared with me is that, you know, since Dungeons & Dragons has came out, it was really the first game that really encouraged people to have role-playing. And I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that from what you shared with me the other day, Brenda.
So I went to Orcon, which was a convention 2 weeks ago, I think it was. And when I was walking around, I was overhearing a conversation with one of or two of the girls that were sitting pretty close to where I was sitting. And they were saying one of the girls was new to gaming, as am I, and her friend was more of the avid gamer. And so she mm-hmm. was saying, you know, what is it that draws you to play? Like, this is, it's so weird. And she's like, it's actually not. And she's like, a lot of us here are introverts. And a lot of us here, we're not really like the popular people. We're not the football players. We're not the, you know, head of the cheer squad. We're more like, we're introverts. And so when we get to role play, we get to become whoever we want to be. And because it's our role, everybody has to take it seriously. And so you kind of get to become somebody that you always wanted to be, or at least somebody that you always wanted to see what it felt like to be. It could be a villain. It could be a princess. It could be a wizard. Like, whatever it is that, you know, you wanted to play out, you get to do that, and you get to be treated as such in the game. And when I heard her explain it to me like that, I was like, okay, now I understand how cool this is. Like, if this was explained to me like that when I was 11, 12, 13, I would have been like, oh, my gosh, I'm so in. Because, I mean, don't we all like to, like, dabble in role-playing at that age? You know, we all pretend that we're cops and robbers or princesses and knights. And to get to do this as a game with friends, and it to me, I was just like, wow, that makes so much sense. Like, I get it. And I really loved, like, being introduced to the gaming world with kind of that, even though I don't even know her name. I can't even say thank you, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I've never known
No,
her
I thought
name. But I'm
Yeah. I thought that was just really great that you pointed that out, and it just got my wheels going thinking about, you know, the fact that you guys are creating this great place where people can go and be able to actually be practicing all the different kinds of ways that games do. So I'd love for you guys to, because one thing that Christopher and I got together last year, we were talking about you know, just this whole thing about these gaming conventions. You can imagine a whole ballroom of people playing a certain game. And it's just kind of like, wow, you know, have even the concept that there would be that much of a passion that people would want to get together and do that. But in another way, it made sense to me because it was a matter of all this online gaming is you're really not you're connecting, but not in a way that really have their, you know, being able to look somebody in the eye and have that on, you know, instantaneous reactions with stuff like that. Everything is game driven without necessarily having the emotions and just the interaction of that person along with what you're dealing with. So I think it's just a very different way of being able to just have a level of just connection that I think that people are really hungry for. Since computers have come out, it really has been one more thing about, you know, how come we can reach everybody in the world, but people feel so lonely. So it's really things helping people to get back together with that. So anybody who wants to jump in with that part of the whole idea of,
yeah,
of putting the, you know, this place together.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a social aspect of it that's extremely appealing. And, you know, what's really interesting is that there's so many types of games out there. I mean, we've talked about role-playing games. There's different types of card games. There's, you know, the actual board games. And, you know, there's a social aspect to each one of these, but there's also another element to it where it's like it's very stimulating, right? So you have games that are a little bit more strategic, and then you have games that are a little bit more, let's just have fun, you know? So there's a wide variety of these types of games, and it appeals to a very wide group of people. And I think that's one of, you know, our strengths when we've been, you know, going to these conventions and selling is trying to figure out, well, what game is appropriate for a specific type of player? Because there's some like hardcore gamers that they could sit down and play a game for 9+ hours, you know what I mean? And, you know, there's other groups of people, especially people that are new to board gaming that, okay, well, that's a little too long or a lot too long. And maybe they can handle like a 2-hour game. And then you have games that are a lot quicker than that. You have games that are like maybe 20, 30 minutes, you know, and that's the beauty of it, is that it can appeal to a very wide group of people.
So I know you guys are going to have be able to have private parties and be able to have it. Are you guys going to have like a special side room where people could do a 7-hour game, that kind of thing available, as well as like people in the front being able to have quicker games that are going on?
The idea of the room, the building, is that we're going to have a main space with all the retail space is going to be. And towards the back of that main space and a little down the side, we're going to have public space for people to play games. We'll have some demo games available so people can just pull them off the shelves. Or if they want to bring their own games in, they can do that and play with their friends. It depends on the game. Some of the bigger games, people have an entire, like, carriage full of items that they need just to play a game on the table. And we hope to have anywhere between 6 to 8 tables available publicly for people just to come in and spend some time, whether it's just to hang out with some friends or to try a new game or to ask us that we can recommend a new game. And if we have that demo game available, we can show them as well. But as you mentioned, we do have a private space in the back. It's going to be separate. It's attached to the building, but it's through a door, so it's a little isolated by itself for like a renting aspect or an RSVP type thing where people can have like either a private party or if they just want to get together with their friends and be away from the rest of the store and just have a secluded area to play their own game. We'll have that little spot available to the side, too, where it can be rented out and available for people who wish to use and utilize that space.
Okay, that sounds exciting. So we can talk a little bit about the weekly events you guys are going to be having. You know, what's the Munchkin event? What are we guys doing with that?
Well, that was just one of many ideas, but, you know, we're going to have different types of events. I mean, there's going to be tournaments. There's going to be organized games that are not necessarily for competition, but just for people to learn new games. And then we're going to also have sanctioned events, like Friday nights. We're going to have what's called Friday Night Magic, where it's very competitive, and we track their scores. That's actually tracked by a system created by Wizards of the Coast. And so we're going to have different events that appeals for different groups of individuals.
And you guys already have your Facebook page up, is that right? So people can be checking go ahead and sign in and become a follower of the page and know what you guys have coming up for events.
Yeah, we have our Facebook and we have an Instagram page up. I believe our Facebook page was at Critical Gaming or Critical Hit Gaming, and then our Instagram page was criticalhit.game. We plan to post events and keep it primarily occupied with what's just going to go on for the week. We plan to have a calendar inside the store also for people just to come in and see what we have scheduled for the week, because our goal is to be able to offer something every day for someone. You know, we'll have the regular open game night where people can just come in and play whatever game they want to. But then, like you mentioned, the Munchkin night, you know, we kind of toyed around the idea of putting aside one night during the week and just having everyone play different types of Munchkin. Like, but there's a Munchkin for every occasion nowadays, and it just adds kind of some crazy zany fun to a kind of a classic game. But we're just trying to have a lot going on, and we plan to keep it updated as possible on our social media.
Okay,
so
that sounds cool.
Just to kind of touch on that, as a mother, you and I, Robin, doesn't that sound like a really great place you would want to go with your kids?
Yeah,
there's
absolutely. I was just going to ask you about the homeschooling that you're really wanting to get people connected and realize these kids have someplace they can come have some fun.
Yeah, so that's what I kind of wanted to tie in a little bit about this store, which is what got me so excited about it when I first started hearing about Chris and Darren's board game store. I love the aspect that came with the store that gives back to families and the community. I love that it brings in these really fun classes, if you will, or time slots where you can go as a family and learn how to play a new game, or a game that you already like to play, or maybe you've never played before, and what's the tabletop gaming? I don't know, they're doing a night. Let's just go as a family and check it out. Something new to bring the families together in our community. And what we learned, what I learned at the first convention I went to, which was a homeschooling convention, what was it, guys? Game School Con? Was that what it was?
Game School Con.
Yeah, it was so much homeschooling information, and I was talking to all of these moms and all of these educators and board game creators there, and I was hearing the needs of the community. You know, the moms were saying, I really want a place where we can go and we can learn about how to play these games. I want to know how to find the right educational game to help my homeschool child in history, or I want to learn a really cool game to teach my child strategy for math. And I was blown away at what you could do with board games. And that's when I really kind of got lit in that fire of like, okay, we can do a lot more than just sell board games in the community. We can really transform the way the community runs in terms of how many options you have to have fun in a way that is fun for the family, but also educational and stimulating. And everybody kind of walks away with something. I love that, and I'm so excited that the idea that these gentlemen had is going to have the ability to do that in our hometown. You know, it really excites me. I think this is going to be a really great place for families in Corona, and I'm so excited that their vision gets to do that for Corona.
Well, you know, it's going to expand past Corona, let me tell you. I think it's just going to be something that really, every community is going to see the need for that. And hopefully the schools in general will see that, you know, there's such a lack of, you know, when it comes to critical thinking and a lot of things that aren't taught in school, that games can really be something that can provide that for people. And one thing that Brenda and I have been talking about, too, is there's so many games out there that really teach you to be on a small level, looking at the problem solving of the things that you can do, and imagine if they take that out into the world and be able to apply that to other things they have going on. That's just so awesome to have that kind of a concept. And to me, it was really looking at it from an entrepreneurial level, because I know my daughter, one of the things she loves to play is some of these games where you basically, you know, you start an amusement park and then you'd have to be built, you know, adding rides and having all these different things that you would have to strategize about, you know, money and time and all the different kinds of things that go into stuff like that. They really help you to look at just the bigger picture of something. If you were an entrepreneur, some of the things you would have to consider between branding and just the cost of things and stuff like that. So I think that's just something else that goes along with a lot of these things that we're talking about when it comes to gaming. It can be really exciting. So what else did you guys want to make sure that we know about Critical Hit Games?
Well, kind of covered a lot, but you know, I'm just.
Is there going to be any food there?
Oh, it's a grand.
Are there
piano,
snacks
absolutely.
And food and things like that?
So,
people can buy snacks
food
and stuff.
We're going to have. We're going to have giveaways. We're going to have swag bags for the first, I think it's, 25 people that are coming in. And we're going to have giveaways.
So it'll be for the first 50. We have bags made for the first 50 to come in. But for the first 25 that come in, we're going to have a little something extra for those individuals.
Okay, but what I was curious about is they're actually going to, you know, like if somebody came in, they want to play games, and they brought their family there, would there be beverages and snacks and stuff that they could get, you know, if they didn't bring, or is food outside going to be allowed, or are you guys going to have stuff, you know, available in the shop?
Oh, good question. We're going to have snack foods for the store, yeah. We're going to sell different types of snacks and beverages, but
okay.
The original idea, you know, with the cafe, we were going to have serve food, but we've decided that with the retail spot, we're going to have like light snacks.
Okay, so when somebody goes there and they're going to pay that 7-hour game, let me make sure that you're going to have to need it, get some snacks.
Yeah, definitely.
We're burning a lot of energy on that.
Luckily,
so, you know,
luckily we live in the day of Uber Eats, so
yeah,
if people are going to play 7-hour game, they
Well, that's good to know.
Or
everybody will know what critical games are because they're going to be delivering pizzas, things like that. So that'll be exciting, having stuff like that going on. So what about with the, like, say, the Dungeons & Dragons and stuff like that? Are you encouraging people to come in costume?
Well, they can if they want. But, you know, that's a whole different type of gaming, you know.
People get into gaming, they, you know, if they're playing Dungeons & Dragons, they want to come in as that character and just, you know, totally immerse themselves in the role-playing that they're doing.
We are definitely going to welcome that, for sure, yeah. I mean, you know, there's a whole other element to that. It's called LARPing. It's live-action role-playing where you're actually dressing up and being more, like, physically involved in the game. But, there's a little bit of that, too.
Okay. Like, I was wanting to create a segue. So my daughter from Chem Cosplay, she's going to be coming to the grand opening with you guys, and she's going to be coming as Raven from the Teen Titans. So you'll be coming over. So if anybody out there wants to get a picture with Kate, she'll be available for people, and I'm sure that'll be something to be kind of fun for all the kids to see somebody in costume. So it'll be something that can encourage people to be, you know, kind of in the role playing as well. I think that's going to be really fun with all that stuff. So anything else that you want to make sure that we talk about, Bren?
I think at this point we've covered everything. Gentlemen, is there anything we're missing?
Okay.
No, I think that's pretty much everything.
So when you guys talk about your after-hour games, how, you know, what's your regular operational hours going to be?
Well, I think at the point right now, we're going to probably toy around with the idea of like a 10 to 8 when it comes to Sunday through Thursday, and then possibly up to 10 or midnight when it comes to Friday or Saturday. I think we just need to take a couple of weeks and really gauge how busy it's going to be, how active it's going to be, how many people want to come in, and what time they're available to come in. We've been toying around with the idea of possibly closing the shop one day of the week also, just to kind of let everyone kind of recuperate from everything as well, though. But it just varies. I think once the store is open and we see people coming in and the time that they come in, it'll allow us to gauge with exactly what we want to do. But depending on how busy it is, we're pretty open to staying up a little bit later.
Yeah, I'm sure your Friday and Saturday nights are going to be super busy. That's when people are going to have time to go and play and stuff like that. So, but like with the private gaming room, you know, the Dungeons and Dragon nights are going to be available. It's also a great place for party games and private parties. They're going to have company game nights that they can do. So that's a great thing to do with a business, to get everybody together and come from a place of play and just seeing that. That's one thing I love to do with my is a couple times a week we just sit down and we'll play Uno or we'll play dice or something like that. For our lunch hour, we'll eat real quick and then we take about maybe 15, 20 minutes just to play a game with each other. And the camaraderie and just the way you problem solve and work together as teams and stuff like that, it really kicks it up and puts it into more of a playful way. So when you go back to your regular work and have different situations come up, everybody just has a more lighter perspective of everything about, you know, and that you can get it solved and have it be to where it comes from, just being able to have fun with it at the same time. So I just really want to say that that's... Good,
yeah, that was actually, that you mentioned that was one of the things that one of the moms was talking to Chris and I about at the convention, was she was saying, I love having these quick games in my purse or in my car that you could just pull out while you're waiting for your food at a restaurant. And, you know, mm-hmm. you get 15 minutes with your kids, and instead of everybody pulling out their iPhone and checking their Instagram or, you know, just checking out, you all get a connect. So you take out this really quick game that you play right there for 15 minutes, and it's fun, and you engage and you connect and you spend quality time together. And I was like, whoa, I mean, I'm a seasoned mom. I have two kids and my oldest is 7. Like, I know a lot of fun things to do with kids. And I really never thought about keeping a little bundle of really fast little games in my purse to like pass the time instead of giving my kids a tablet. Or, you know, my cell phone. So it's funny that you mentioned that, because that was one of the things that she wanted. She's like, I want someone that could show me and tell me about new games that I could play with my kids that are super fast. And so I love that our store is going to be able to help a mom in that, or also a really seasoned gamer who can come and cosplay and wants to play for 7 hours. You know, I love mm-hmm. that the store is going to be able to cover everybody from beginning to end. That's going to be really exciting. And it's really fun getting the feedback from the community and what people are wanting and what they want the store to feel like, and taking everybody's wants and needs and then manifesting that for them in this really great place that they can come be a community in and buy board games in and find friends. And, you know, it's really exciting. I'm really excited. As a community member, I'm really excited for this.
You know, I bet there's a bunch of some of these kids, you know, these kids that are basically being homeschooled, the moms would basically, I bet they would love to have their own gaming day.
Well, yeah.
Get all the moms together, let the kids do something else, and the moms, you know, that's a great idea, that once a month they get together, you show them a new game and say, this is different things you guys can do, and the moms just play together to see if they like the game and see how that might be able to benefit to take it back at home. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they told me they get together once a month at a cafe for the moms to play. I was like, what? Like a mom's night out playing board games?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, it's super fun. I was like, okay, see, we have a space to provide that, you know?
Yeah,
and that,
I think that would be awesome for that, you know?
Community is huge in Corona.
Yeah. Yeah, and it just is everywhere. I mean, unfortunately, with a lot of the situations that we've had in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, and just having a sense of safety, being able to come to a place where you know you can be safe and be able to have it where you're having fun and having camaraderie and just the support of one another. I mean, you know, if you don't know somebody when you start a game and all of a sudden you have to be, you know, partners on a team. And being able to do these things, you know, it can become lifelong relationships with somebody when you just have that sense, you know, that synergy of bringing somebody together and have it be playful. So we've got about a minute and a half left. So just really want to go through some of just the other stuff. You know, they're going to be doing trade card games and then the Friday Night Magic. I'd love to learn more about that Friday Night Magic. I think that's going to be something that's really cool, Christopher. And, just different, some of the miniatures and stuff like that. Because one of the things, too, that Brendan shared with me, you know, some of these games are literally just teach you strategy when everything gets laid out and it's on a 3D level. It looks like a whole village. It's almost like a Sims game, but it's set out to where you have the whole thing and everything's moving with one another. So I think that's just really fascinating with all that stuff. So I just know this thing's going to be so successful for you guys. So just some connection things to make people know that ways you can get a hold of it. Again, it's called Critical Hit Games, and they're at 1003 West 6th Street in Corona. And the phone number is 562-756-1119, so 1119. And if you want to check them online, you can go to www.ch.games.com to be able to get that. And I'm looking forward to I will be there for the opening on the 7th, so it's going to be super fun. And if you want to see some cosplaying and stuff like that, we'll have that going on too. So anything else you guys want to do before we wrap this up?
Yes, really quickly. Our number is actually 951-496-3588. We just got the new phone, so
yay!
I don't want anyone calling the wrong number.
Okay, say it again one more time, Bren.
951-496-3588.
3588. So go ahead and give them a call. And if you do, I'll go online and see if you can be able to check that out. And remember, you can go to Critical Hit Games on Facebook and be able to look at that as well. So you guys, it's going to be super fun. It's all about gaming and just playing with one another. So we have a great team. So thank you so much for joining us.
You come out.
I'm looking forward to you guys. Okay, we'll see you next time here in the cafe. And we'll have you guys back again to talk about the success of this in a couple months to see how it's changing and growing and something else that we're learning with the whole gaming thing. So thanks for joining us.
Great. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Robin. Thank you for the support.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for joining us here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.